Hey there, folks. It's the frequency from beyond space and time, at the same time, every time. You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the 35th installment of Mad Tower Radio. My name is Dan, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Christian and Ryan, and we're here to tell you about the strange, the unusual, the monsters hiding in the woods, the UFOs flying through the sky. You name it, really. Christian, Ryan, how you guys doing?
No, sir, I can't complain. Just been still dealing with that damn cold up here in Chicago. But other than that, you know, happy to be in my warm room with the space heater going, ready to talk about some spooky stuff with my friends.
Yeah. I think,
Absolutely.
Sounds like everyone's been getting just absolutely assaulted by the weather lately.
Yeah, man, fuck the weather.
So down here, watching all my friends, they're like, fuck, dude, it snowed like 6 inches today. Fuck, I can't get out of the house. Like, blah, 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 we're gonna die. And I'm down here in Louisiana. I'm like, damn, dude, it's like 40 degrees today. I'm fucking freezing. Yeah, so not everybody is suffering equally. You know, I'm getting the short end of the stick. Well, the best end of the stick, actually.
I was gonna say you got the better end of the stick.
Mm-hmm. So if you haven't watched the last couple episodes, the boys and I, we've been kind of easing into the realization for everyone on this podcast and everyone who listens to this podcast that sometimes good cryptids and good conspiracies are hard to find. So we're branching out. We're branching out, keeping it in that ballpark of horror, of spooky, of just, you know, you guys are, you know what the tone is. Come on. Don't play with me. You know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm past like putting a definition on it. I just hear something, read something, and if it feels like it, it's going in.
And that's exactly what I have for you guys today. So mine is, it's a story, you know. This is more of a story about a guy, and I actually came across this story. I was watching a YouTube video by a guy, Jacob Geller. And he does these really, really good video essays. And he had one called Fear of the Cold. And I watched that one, and it was fucking awesome. And he talked about this guy a lot in it. So I went ahead and, like, looked more into his story. And his story was so fucking cool that I was like, all right, we're talking about this on the show. So without further ado, let me tell you guys about the North Pond Hermit, a.k.a. Christopher Knight. Right. So for years, there was this campground called Little North Pond. And it was like a, kind of like a rich white people campground where, like, it's not like bring out your tents or like your pop up campers. It was like, no, we all have like cabins and we come down here on the weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude was just absolutely terrorizing this place, right? And he was, like, a fucking masterclass thief, too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He only ever stole, like, survival items. Like, he wasn't there to, like, fucking get the loot, you know, and then, like, go fence it. Like, he took, you know, food, flashlights, propane tanks, books, just, like, survival stuff, really, you know?
Yeah.
Christopher Knight's reign of thievery ended in 2013, where he was arrested for over 1,000 burglaries he committed.
My man.
So after his arrest, that's when the story really started to unfold, and we got to learn more about Mr. Knight. So on one day in 1986, when Christopher Knight was just 20 years old, he quit his one and only job as a security systems installer in Boston. And he just hit the open road. He did not tell a single living soul that this was going to happen. And he didn't even know it was going to happen. He just up and left out of one day in the middle of nowhere. Right?
That rules.
He was just gone, you know? And he said he started by just driving down the East Coast mainly. And he went all the way down to Florida. And then he started heading back towards Maine. And that's where he grew up. And he just drove so far into the Maine backwoods, Like, he took a side road, and then he took a side road on that side road. And when the car was out of gas, he just fucking got out with, like, his backpack and a tent and just left.
Damn.
You know? Yeah. This dude was just like, fuck it, I'm going off the grid. You know? And so very quickly, food became his first issue. And he didn't want to be a thief. He didn't want to be, like, some vagrant criminal, right? He just wanted to go off the grid. So he started by trying to eat roadkill.
Jesus. Nah.
Yeah, and he said he only ate roadkill once, and then he was like, okay, I'm just going to steal from gardens. And then he was like, I'm only going to live outside. And then one night it was raining real bad. So he broke into, like, an unoccupied, like, cabin shed kind of thing and stayed there at night. But then he said that the tension of being caught was so great that he was like, fuck this, I'm never doing that again. So he slept outside. And eventually he found a spot that felt perfect, he describes. He says that he was, like, running along these ridges through these wetlands and nothing really just felt great, right? But he finally found the spot that was, like, perfect, and he said, okay, I'm staying here. And he had no map or compass either. And turns out that he was only 30 miles from his childhood home when he found that spot that was like, this is perfect, I'm staying here. And this man picked a spot that was so secluded and so desolate that he only had one interaction with another human in 27 fucking years out in the woods.
Does that not count the vast suite of robbery he was committing?
No. He never encountered them.
He never saw them.
I never saw them. They never saw me. Okay.
He was that good.
Yeah, he was that good, you know? Dude was just, like, cracked out of his mind, just fucking, like, I don't want to see anybody. And I actually watched a video. It was, like, a little documentary interviewing all the people that, like, had places at these campgrounds and stuff. And the one guy that saw him was like, you know what? I'm going to just leave this guy alone because, quote, he looked like a Vietnam veteran dealing with PTSD.
Definitely something you don't want to go fuck with.
Just extremely lucky. Right?
Let the dude rock, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because he wasn't even like, Knight wasn't even a big outdoorsman. He learned everything that he learned out there through trial and error.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Oh, yeah. Especially with the theft, man. You got it. The dude was an artist. Okay.
You know, that's true, though. It's like, how do you mess up so many times, you know, like, learning it without being caught?
Oh, yeah.
You know, or, like, something going to shit, like someone fucking shooting you or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's how fucking meticulous he was, dude. He only went out in the middle of the night in specifically overcast and preferably rainy days. He would only cross trails and roads backwards. And he spent weeks just casing out these campgrounds, right? Because there were a bunch of campgrounds along this, like, lake that he was by. And so he wouldn't always hit the same one. So he would steal a canoe and ride through the lake in the middle of the night, staying, like, and he would stay far away from, like, the shore. He would just ride through the fucking choppy-ass, cold-ass fucking main water. And, you know, then he would, like, get up on shore, steal his shit, throw it back in the fucking canoe, leave. And then he would take the canoe, because these were, like, rental canoes or, like, people's private canoes. And he would put it back up on the launch, flip it over how it was, and put, like, leaves and pine needles on it so that people didn't think it was used recently.
That's like the type of stuff I would do when I would steal food as a child and, like, make things look like they were kind of put together and they weren't. That's wild.
Exactly, dude. This guy was insane. And so all the people at these campgrounds were like, well, I'm tired of, like, getting my shit stolen, all this food stolen. So he would, they all upgraded their security systems, like fucking, like, cameras, fucking this, that, the other. And, but you got to remember, his one and only job before he walked off into the woods was a security systems installer.
Oh, fuck.
So he knows it from the inside.
Yeah.
Yep. He knew how to fucking skirt it. Oh.
Yep, dude just like, dude was like, oh yeah, that's cute. And he was in, you know?
He's a solid snake.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious.
Who was his Otacon?
He just never got thought. He just never got caught, dude. It was insane. And so here's where he starts getting fucking, like, cracked, right?
It starts.
His whole entire time out there, he never lit a campfire for fear of being detected.
What is he eating?
This How
is
man he keeping survived. Warm? Well, he had a little propane stove, but he wouldn't do, like, a bonfire to stay warm.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't do that either.
Yeah. he fucking survived 27 goddamn winters in the middle of northern Maine with no fire, no nothing, no heat, nothing, just his clothes. And in before winter started up, he would start putting on fat. Like, he would just eat more so that he had, like, extra blubber for the winter.
He became, like, a bear? He became a bear? Dude. Started living like a
real
bear?
Ass, like, survivor. Okay.
Yes. That's pretty cool.
And, it was fucking crazy. You know what he would do to, like, stay warm? Is that he was so paranoid that he was just gonna fucking die in the cold in his sleep. That, he would sleep during the day while it was warmer, and then at night he would just get up and pace around his campsite to, like, generate some body heat while it was, like, coldest.
It's like the living definition of if there's a will, there's a way. Like, he just, like, pushed himself to be this demon.
Yes. Everybody, like, everybody that's interacted with him talks about him. They're like, this dude survived on raw determination.
Yeah.
You know, it was fucking crazy. So, finally, in 2013, he was caught, right? So they started setting up, like, motion detector cameras. They started, like, staking out the place. Like, they had somebody, like, posted at this campground, like, 24/7. Like, finally, everyone just decided it was a big enough deal that they were like, okay, we will fucking get this guy, you know? So they caught him through, like, motion detecting cameras on, like, one of his fucking theft runs. And when he was caught, he was, like, just completely cooperative. He admitted to everything. He was like, yep, just, you know, lock me up. And everybody thought he was going to be, like, this fucking wild man, like, this literal fucking caveman, you know? And in the interview, or the documentary I watched, they interviewed the arresting officers, and they were like, yeah, this guy, like, he was completely alone, but, like, he was up to date on everything, because apparently he kept in touch with the world through, like, an AM radio. Like, homie would just wake up and, like, turn on his radio and listen to the news. Like, he knew what was going on. He fucking knew who the Kardashians were, what movies were out. Like, it was crazy. So, and he, like, stole millions of books. Not millions, but he stole, like, a shitload of books. And he was, like, always just reading and reading and reading out there, too. You know?
Millions so, of books. Yeah. The guy's cave.
Gotta like do something. Yeah.
Everybody was like, dude, this guy is, like, super smart. You know, and the dude got super lucky too, because a lot of people, the judge and the justice system included, viewed him as mentally ill. So for his string of thousands of burglaries over 27 years, this man was sentenced to 7 months in prison and was enrolled in a social rehabilitation program. And that's it.
Yeah, that should be. He didn't kill anybody.
So
yep.
Is the implied ethnicity of this man? He's a white guy, right?
Yeah, he's a white guy.
I was gonna say, okay. Because if it was
anybody, just checking.
Anybody else, they would have, like,
here's
shot
a,
him.
Here's a picture of him on the arrest day.
Oh, wow.
If I don't see a beard on this man. There it is.
So he had a beard, right? But this motherfucker was so smart that he would, before he went in there to, like, steal a bunch of shit, he would shave and give himself a haircut so that he looked like a normal dude.
Yeah.
Not like just some, like, cracked out guy coming out of the woods. You know? Check out, here's, like, his campsite.
Oh, his, like, hovel. Look at that.
This dude was so out in the middle of nowhere that he, like, just had this big ass fucking campsite set up. Like, dude was living, honestly, for a campsite. This shit looks nuts.
I mean, I wouldn't say living, but I mean, like,
it's a little cozy, but
I don't know.
Propane tank. It's pretty cool. And he stole, like, those propane tanks from,
I got a mattress is all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I got the space heater. And like, the thing is, he's in Maine, though. Like, it gets cold up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's a picture of him all cleaned up, you know. Like, he was just, like, a normal dude. And he just was like, oh, I'm out of here.
Oh, yeah. He looks like fucking...
He looks like a Sonic villain.
An old man.
27 fucking years, bro. So look at that first picture I sent you of him, right? Yeah. Now, here is a picture of him caught on a camera that somebody set up. Those look like two different people.
Yeah.
Sure. I see, like, the tactic he was going for.
You know? And dude was, like, just cracked, man. Just cracked. Fucking wild, bro.
Dude cracked.
Yeah. And, you know, he got, like, apparently he's been reintegrating into society real well, you know? Like, he's just fucking... He has his own place, and he fucking works at a body shop, or like an auto shop, you know, and that's it, you know. Now...
They're just out of the game? He's just tired of that life?
I mean, he got caught, you know, he wasn't... I don't think he was rushing exactly to fucking just run back into the woods and do it again. He's okay. Like, this time we're going for 28 years, baby.
Well, he learns his game. He's like, okay, now to do this more effectively, I'm going to, you know.
Do what I did in 27 years, I'm going to do it in 27 weeks.
Yeah. So, he only agreed to one interviewer. And it was Mr. Michael Finkel, who wrote a book about him. And it's called The Stranger in the Woods, The True Story of the Last Great Hermit, or something that.
Back in the good old days, hermit was like a societal role. You could live in a rich man's garden and be eclectic for him.
Yeah, well, so in his interview with him, right, this little essay that Michael Finkel has talked about in his interview with him, right, he says that, and this article's great, it kind of gets into the fucking, what is it, kind of gets into the philosophy of, like, night and, like, what his thoughts were and kind of stuff. So he says that there's really only three reasons why people leave the world. This is what the interviewer says. He says some do for religious purposes, like a monk or something. He says other hermits opt out of civilization because of hatred of what the world has become. And the final is for those who wish to be alone for reasons of artistic freedom. And he said night doesn't really fit into any of these categories. You know, he didn't follow any formal religion. He wasn't protesting modern society. He didn't really make any art or any philosophical treaty or anything like that. He just went. And Knight says, quote, I can't explain my actions. I had no plans when I left. I wasn't thinking of anything. I just did it. You know? So he just left, man. He was just like, I'm out of here.
That's badass.
Felt the need to vibe. Just like pure, like, bodily instinct.
Oh, yeah. You know? And, this is really cool. He says, the dividing line between myself and the forest seemed to dissolve. My desires dropped away. I didn't long for anything. I didn't even have a name. To put it romantically, I was completely free.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Oh, yeah. Another quote from Knight is, it's complicated. Solitude bestows an increase in something valuable. I can't dismiss that idea. Solitude increased my perception. But here's the tricky thing. When I applied my increased perception to myself, I lost my identity. There was no audience. There was no one to perform for. There was no need to define myself. I became irrelevant. And he says he can... The interviewer says that this is pretty similar to other people who have done the whole solitude thing. Such as Ralph Waldo Emerson, Lord Byron, Thomas Merton, who says, sure. The true solitary does not seek himself, but loses himself. And then the journalist asked him if there was some great, grand insight that was revealed to him in the wild. And all he had to say was, get enough sleep.
Yeah, I hear that.
That's ominous. What's up with that? Yeah.
A lot of people then compared him to Henry David Thoreau, right? And Knight was like, don't fucking compare me to Henry David Thoreau. He lived alone in a cabin for 2 years, and his mother did his laundry.
His wife and mom came and brought him fucking sandwiches.
And then he wrote a book about it saying, look how great I am.
Yeah, that dude glamped.
Yeah, so he's not a fan of Henry David Thoreau. You know, this man was...
Don't compare me to that poser.
This man was the true, true survivalist, you know?
So I'm looking at the guy, and it might reveal maybe my lack of survival skills or knowledge, but he, one, doesn't look that, like, tan or, like, sun-marked,
right? Yeah.
Would you expect someone who survives out in the wilderness to pick up a little bit of pigment?
Maybe. I mean, Maine is pretty fucking far north, man.
No, sure.
You know, this dude probably needs all the fucking vitamin D he can get.
Okay.
You know? Like, I'm not like... too familiar with Maine. But, you know, I mean,
it's... The only other thing that I'm noticing is every time I see a picture of him in Civilization, he looks fucking sad.
He does look sad, dude.
I mean, dude's living in a tent in, like, the woods. I could see that.
Dude probably just wants to go back out to his campsite.
Just, like, yearns for the woods again.
Oh, yeah. The call of freedom. So the I thought... This story is interesting. It's really, really interesting. Don't get me wrong. But the fucking... The little hook that got lodged in my cheek that made me want to investigate this was in the book, he recounts a tale to the journalist. He says, on the worst night out there, it was like negative degrees, and I was pacing around the campground, and I saw what I came to call Lady Death.
Ooh.
And it was a woman, a robed woman in a cloak, and she just appeared at the edge of my campsite, and I knew that she was Lady Death, and that, you know, if I didn't get, like, because this was at a point where he had no food, no propane, it was the middle of the fucking winter night, and he was just pacing around trying not to fucking die.
Yeah.
And he said that he saw, like, an apparition of death on the edge of his campsite. And then he goes on to say that on his worst days, he still thinks about just walking out into the woods and sitting down with Lady Death. And I was like, I need to know more about this. But unfortunately, that was like his one, you know, cryptic encounter out there. And he says in the morning that I knew it was that I came to the conclusion that it was a hallucination, but I'll never be sure. I'm like, damn, that's fucking wild.
Yeah.
I adore, like, what the mind does when it confronts death. People, like, talk about having out-of-body visions. People talk about, you know, like, hearing the voices of the dead or seeing the Grim Reaper or some entity like that, and this fucking kicks ass.
Oh, yeah. But I was like, I want to know more about what he saw in the woods, but unfortunately, that's pretty much where the spooky side of it ends, but... I still thought this was a fucking crazy story.
That's enough for me.
I wanted to talk about it on the show because I thought it was really cool, you know?
Yeah. I really think that it's, again, super impressive that this guy with no experience used the little bit that he had on something that he used in the old world to, like, help him survive in his new world. I thought that was kind of cool.
It's just a marvel that he's alive. Here's a...
Oh, yeah.
Here's a picture of him before he went into the woods. You know, like, he just looks like a normal dude, man. And he was just like, I'm out of here. 1986 to 2013, this guy was in complete isolation.
You know, he looks...
Gives me hope.
He looks more miserable in this picture than he does in, like...
In the wild, yeah.
Like, there must be something just, like, so spiritually liberating to just only, you know, like that quote you were saying. Like, he went out there and he discovered a different form of himself. And, like, now that he's back in society, those constraints, the societal constraints come back around him, and he has to be what society wants him to be. Uh-huh. And he can't be like whatever version of himself was out there, you know, like talking to death and like eating bugs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's got to get a fucking credit score and shit.
Ooh.
And not like, and homie never sold out. Like, he never did a book deal. He never did a movie deal. He never, like, he spoke to one journalist and he was like, let me just go back to life.
And then he killed that journalist.
Which is really cool. You know, like, I think more people need to hear this story.
Yeah, it's inspiring. Do you know what that kind of reminds me of?
Huh.
It's like a more inspiring version of Into the Wild. The Chris McCandless story where that guy was like, I'm tired of being rich. I want to see what, like, the other side lives like. And then he just walked into, like, the Alaskan North and died.
Well, didn't he? Yeah, he fucking dies, doesn't he? He eats, like, mushy potatoes and gets a bacteria in his brain.
Yeah, he eats mushy potatoes and, like, rotted blueberries, and he just died in, like, a fucking RV. I remember, like, I remember they showed us that in high school.
Yeah.
And I just was, like, I was, like, so upset. You know, like, my family was not anywhere near wealthy growing up. We were more on the poverty line than anything. So hearing some guy just be like, I'm tired of being rich. I want to go and, like, experience what the other side lives like. And, like, my teacher's trying to, like, pitch it to us. But, like, you know, you see the struggle. I said, he wasn't going through no struggle. His dad and mom were paying for everything. They pay for everything.
I want to see what the other side lives like. Does he just think that, like, lower class people are fucking foraging for fucking berries out in the Alaskan wild?
He thinks it's exactly like all, like, the other side people are like, what the hell is this guy doing? He's like, I'll be like you one day. Trust. Goes into the wilderness, like, and dies.
The first thing he does is, like, drives out into the middle of nowhere and burns all his money in a pile.
Yeah, that made me mad.
Like, I think it was, like, more anti-materialism than anything.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, it just was, like, it was foolishness, man.
The real survivalist. No one will ever hold a candle to Christopher Knight, bro.
Nah, that's a really cool story.
Oh, yeah. This guy's a beast, man. And he, like... Nothing happened. He was, like, one day he was just like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm fucking gone.
No motive, no nothing. He was just like, fuck it. Woods time. You know, so. I just thought that was a really cool story I wanted to share. That's about all I got left on it.
Good shit.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. Promise next week I'll do something crazy. Something wacky.
I like this one.
So, this was cool. Who wants to take the... Take the stick.
I'll take the stick.
Okay.
All right. So, I like looking at like cryptids and like supernatural entities that have to deal with my culture and my, you know, like, I'm Puerto Rican Mexican, so I always like looking at stuff like that because it's I'm always trying to get more in touch with that. It's funny because it's like my mom sees me like looking up these like things about Mexico. My dad sees me like doing research on Puerto Rico and like occultism in Puerto Rico and things that were brought from Spain. And they're like, you're doing all this research and learning about, you know, the two sides of your culture and who you are, but you still are struggling to learn Spanish. So, like, the one thing that I'm still, like, struggling to, like, really get Spanish down. So, it's like, that's fine. I could cast a spell on you in Spanish, but I can't actually speak to Spanish.
I can't talk to the man, but I could, you know the demon when he comes.
Exactly, and call him by his Spanish name.
You just need to know
Don
the Spanish.
Don Francisco.
De Gama.
De Gama. That's him. But so I was looking at some, not so much a crypt, I don't really know what you would call it, because it's kind of up there with like a skinwalker almost. And the entity I'm talking about is La Lechuza. Ooh. And what La Lechuza is the, I've heard it go both ways. So right now, like what, like when you look up La Lechuza, what you see in like most of the articles and like kind of research is an owl, like a giant owl with a woman's face.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's huge.
I thought it was the reverse.
Like, it was a woman with an owl's face?
Yeah.
Nah, it's an owl with a woman's face.
That's worse. That's like a manticore.
Exactly.
That's significantly worse.
And so, like, and it's not like a young woman. It's like an old, like, it's a bruja. She's like an old witch. So, like, it's like this old witch face.
She's not even cute.
She ain't even a baddie, bro. She's like just a straight up demon. and so, like, you know, like this, like, you know, La Lechuza is huge. She's like 7 feet tall with a 15 foot wingspan, and she's so strong in this form that she's able to, like, so it's like
what,
when
what
she
you
started
mean in
showing
this form?
Up in this form, because she could turn into a regular woman as well. And there's also reports of her being able to mimic a baby.
Every Every Mexican monster can do that. All of them go undercover. Every single one of them.
There's like the hoof foot woman who's like, oh, she's cute. Then she guts you with her horse feet.
Exactly. You can't trust a singular woman in the Mexican countryside.
Chupacabra.
Nope. That's not a...
Yeah, but he don't go undercover.
That's true. He's out there speaking with his whole chest, killing dogs, sucking up goat blood.
At least he's real about it.
He's like, this is who I am.
He's real about it.
All 10 toes to the ground with El Chupacabra. But so essentially how this started out, there's a couple of stories. And so one of them is that there was a woman who in an old like village like a long time ago, and she was accused of being a witch or using the devil's magic. And in some stories, she was a witch and she was doing black magic, and the town folk came and they killed her. In another one, she wasn't. It was kind of like Castlevania, the animated series, where like she was more like a medicine woman, and she was using like modern day science and things like that to try and heal people, but people didn't understand what that was. So like, oh, Advil? I think you mean witchcraft. And so they tried, you know,
so they opened up on her. Yeah.
You mean this plant will make my headache go away? Likely story.
Likely story, Skinwalker. And so in some, you know, in some stories they burned her to death. And so what happened from there is in the story where she was already like a witch, a bruja, she made a deal with the devil to live past that death. But in order for her to do that, she had to take on this form that was half owl, half woman.
That's fair. I do that.
Exactly. Me too. You know, I don't want to like burn, especially I want to come back and punk on the people that like killed me.
Exactly.
Especially it's like a giant owl that could like lift men off of horses and drag them away, because that's what she said that like they said that she was able to do. And then the other one, it was a little more like tragic, because it's like she was like a good person, and then Satan came to her when she was like burning and was just like, I'll give you life, but you have to follow me. And like, so she became like an actual witch.
Yeah, I would do that too.
I mean, anything to punk on the people, for real. Me and Megan Trainor, we're spiteful bitches, you know, and I will sell my soul to punk on you up past death.
I think anyone would say yes while they're fucking on fire.
And like they're all there looking at you as they're like lighting you on fire, be like, yeah, I want to like rip these people apart.
The devil could have said like, yeah, you're just gonna come back as a common spider, and she would have been like, yes, just make it stop, please, I'm burning. Like,
it's like, okay, but a common spider with a human face. Well, I don't like that either.
But it's the same. It's spider sized, so no one's gonna see it.
Hey man, have you seen? I watched a documentary. It wasn't a documentary. It was a shitty sci-fi show about spiders. So the brown recluse out there stacking bodies. So who knows what venom the devil would give you if you were a spider sized monster?
The brown recluse do be stacking bodies. My grandpa got bit by one.
Holy
hell! It scarred me for life.
Because like it's like necrotic poison. Like it just becomes gangrene in that area. Like that body part just falls off eventually.
Grandpa just had the fucking rot on his arm. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, because in this video, this guy was like, this family moved into this new farmhouse, and one day they like hit something on the ceiling, and then thousands of brown recluses came out of the ceiling, and the dude got bit and like hit a big old like green and black pussy hole in his shoulder.
You talking about arachnophobia or something?
Nah, this was I forgot. It wasn't sci-fi. It was like Discovery Channel. It was like some Discovery Channel, like creatures that drive humans out of places that they live, like how we don't own that area, or like we don't own the land as much as we think we do. So it's funny because the guy was like, but I wasn't going to let that stop me. And I went back in to go show that I was boss. So just to be big and bad, I slept on the couch. He got assaulted by brown recluse spiders while he was laying on the bed. And I was like, yeah, you showed them pop. Fucking rotting like, there on the bed.
He couldn't have been like, yeah, I'm going back in there with a can of Raid and a fucking lighter. He's just like, oh, I'm going to sleep in this house anyway?
Yeah, literally.
You deserve like, whatever happened to you.
Exactly. Well, he somehow only got bit by one. And eventually, apparently, like, it went away. But, like, the nerves in his hands are all damaged now because, like, it rotted the nerves away. Which is kind of badass. It's pretty metal. It's just like Pop-Pop has a dead hand. Pop-Pop's dead hand. And like... He could, like, do superhuman feats, but only with the dead hand because the nerves are gone. He's like Kick-Ass in that hand, but only in that hand, in that arm, whatever. But I'm going at a tangent. Here's something that's really freaky about her. So she likes to go perch on your window and whistle to you. So like,
bitch, stop.
Yeah, so like if you're like laying out at night, you know, in this Mexico and Texan and Texas area, you hear like, you know, like outside the window, but if it's really loud and in the same spot and the bird outside looks bigger than usual, don't pull the blinds out. Cuz that means that she's out hunting, you know. And it's usually she will go and kill men.
Mm.
And so that, you know, like anything with whistling, I can't stand. Because, you know, I haven't said that story about the whistling man or the whistler. And that story in itself was all kind of weird. Just like, yeah, dude killed his dad because he found out his dad was cheating on his mom when he put his skin in a backpack and walked around. It was wild stuff. but she kind of takes on these qualities of like, almost like, what was it? Was it the hellhound? Or like, if you saw one and it didn't kill you, it meant that something bad was going to happen. Like, if you walked away from a hellhound encounter alive,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's good that you survived, but that means that something bad was going to happen to your family. She kind of takes on, she has an ability like that, or like apparently like people who see her like, and she doesn't attack and kill them there. It's like, oh, she like made her presence known. And then like someone dies like the next day or something like that.
Oh, like Mothman.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Like Mothman.
Man, what's the cooldown on that bad boy?
That's what I'm saying, man. I don't know. Can she just show up like a bunch of people like in a row and be like, guess what? Everyone's family's dying.
Oh, hex.
It's a passive.
Just a passive AOE. She just flies by and people start dropping like flies. And one gets cursed by brown recluses.
Dude, cryptids with the cooldown abilities? OP. OP.
He's got the soldier syringe. She's able to attack faster. But so here's the thing though. She is banishable.
Mm.
Yeah. So apparently you can.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So like you can either surround yourself with salt or throw salt at her, and that will send her away. It kind of reminds me of that really crappy ghost hunting game that I got that I showed you, where you could like load rock salt into a shotgun and like start firing it.
Exactly. Oh yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
And so that, and my favorite is you can just start cursing at her if she comes running at you. You'd be like, you motherfucking, just start like just going ham on her, and that will like send her away.
That's a shitty weakness. That's like everyone's gonna swear.
Exactly. Well, I guess like you have to like say it from your chest. Like I'm guessing you have to like speak from your chest when you're saying
it. You gotta mean it.
Yeah, keep like, you're a bitch. Like, yeah, like be like, you're a bitch. Like say it with your full chest. just like what a weird thing to have as your weakness, you know, like your weakness is getting bullied.
I'm a huge fan of cryptids with whack ass fucking weaknesses, like the Rougarou. If you leave like 13 small items on your porch, it can't kill you because it'll be too busy trying to count the things on your porch. And that's it.
Oh, I've heard of. Well, that's like the Lantern Man. Like, if he runs up on you, throw a lantern on the ground, he gets so mad at the lantern, he'll stand there stomping on the lantern for like 30 minutes, and it gives you time to run away. So, you know, that's kind of what she is. But I actually brought this up because I tell my mom, and my mom, I was like, Mom, you know, I'm going to record. She's like, what are you recording about? You know, she's like, I told her, you know, we're doing the Mad Tower podcast, so we're talking about all things, you know, scary and cryptid and spooky. And I brought up, I'm going to talk about La Lechuza. She goes, you know, your grandfather said that he encountered that creature, right? And I was like, what? I was like, tell me.
Yo.
So when my grandfather was younger, like she tried to end my bloodline because she knew that I'd be too strong, so she tried to kill my grandpa before I was born, but it didn't work. So essentially what happened is when my grandfather was younger, he was living in... Like, they lived in Laredo, Texas. And so he worked on, like, a big, like, he worked outdoors mostly, working, like, with, like, ranch authority and, like, ranch security and stuff like that. So from what they told me, he and some other young men were, like, there was a fight at a bar or a fight at something like that, and they left. And, like, there was, you know, of course, like, you know, a woman was involved and, like, you know, kind of stuff started happening, whatever. It just was an altercation at the bar. I can't really tell you what it was because my grandfather is A, dead, and B, no one else remembers it. So,
Christ.
Fair enough.
And so, I guess they, you know, from what I gathered, they went to work that night and they were riding in, you know, throughout the ranch. And at one point they heard like a shriek, but it sounded like the mix of a, like a barn owl shriek, but a woman screaming as well. And they turned around and a massive, so here's where it kind of diverges. Most people say that they see an owl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather and the men that were with him said that we saw a giant bat with a woman's head flying over us.
What the fuck?
A regional variant.
Exactly. Like, you know, it's the shiny edition of it. It's the shiny Pokemon. Yeah. And it started, like, dive bombing them. And then eventually it landed out in front of them. And they all pull out their rifles. And then from the bat, it turned into a woman and started walking towards them. And they ran and they turned their horses around. And they sped off. And that was my family's encounter with La Lechuza.
I love
and
that.
And so from...
They all right? pulled so, out their rifles and just fucking let it just rip. Just
opened up on them, yeah.
Well, here's something that's wacky about La Lechuza. I couldn't say it for a second. About La Lechuza is that apparently if you shoot at her and you hit her face, the bullet will immediately enter whoever shot.
That's so stupid.
Shit, she gets more powerful by the second.
But that was, you know, so that was my family's encounter with this entity. And I thought it was really cool because, A, I love owls to death. But anything like that's like a harpy kind of creature, I never liked it. Like, I remember I was watching Jason and the Argonauts when I was a little kid.
That 1952-ass stop motion movie?
Yes, dude. Remember the harpy showed up? That blind guy's like, leave me alone. They kept just taking his food. I didn't like that.
That's a good movie.
And Dan's over here blowing up the Discord, making me scared.
Dude, these are
in the
some,
middle of the day.
With their Lechuza
really
picks,
scary
yeah.
pics of Lechuza.
Yeah, they really are. I gotta get the one my grandpa took. I'm gonna post it right now. No, I'm
that's
just
like the that's like the fucking oh, what was it? When you were talking about La Llorona? And they just started airing it out at the birthday party.
Yeah, dude, you came out flying. Kid just like, what's happening? And you're, I wonder how many times though. Like, especially with La Lechuza, if it's like, you know, like, apparently, like, you could curse at her and she, like, will run away. What if, like, cause you know how, like, superstitious, especially, like, Latino culture can be? Like, some guy just was, like, some people were iffy about an old woman and they just go up and start cursing at her and she runs off. Like, she must have been La Lechuza, bro. Like, no, you started running and swearing at an old woman and
you just
ran
assaulted
away.
Assaulted a woman,
just verbally assaulted an old woman in the street.
I feel like with all these, like... tales of like Mexican cryptids you bring us, it should just be on site with any old woman in Mexico.
You see them, you're just like, I don't know if I trust that elderly woman in the distance. She might be some type of demon. And that's not fair to old Mexican women. Where's the old Mexican men creatures, huh? Where's that?
They don't survive.
Gunning down La Lechuza.
Exactly. They're out fighting the secret war.
All right.
Airing it out at a birthday party when La Llorona shows up in the woodline.
There's this like well spread video of a owl flying into a church in Mexico, right?
No way.
And the superstition around it is that, you know, they're trying to sing, they're trying to yell, they're trying to get it out of the barn. And the video is the whole congregation like shouting up at the owl, and he's just bobbing his head up on the rafter, dancing to the music.
I saw that video. He's just like, he's schmoving up there. Just like,
and he don't give a shit.
Hell yeah. Barn owls are great. I actually watched a YouTube video. A YouTube channel. I forgot what the guy's name was. And he raises barn owls. So you get to see them go from like little disgusting scrotum sack birds to like glorious.
Demons?
Yeah, to like glorious speech owl demons. Damn, bro. La chorizo, bro.
La chorizo.
Chorizo con huevo. But so that is, you know, that's my creature that I brought to the table. I thought it was really cool. Again, I have some other ones as well that I do want to bring up eventually. But that one I thought was kind of cool because my family had a personal encounter with it. And my grandma throughout, like even when I was younger, my grandma would be like, don't look at owls because they can turn into a woman. De La Lechuza.
Don't look at
so I grew
owls.
Up. So I woke up scared of women. I grew up scared of women, you know. Because
fair enough. Fair enough.
So So is your mother's side the Mexican side, or is it your father?
My mother's side.
Okay, I knew that secretly in my soul, because the one time I went over, your father made the best goddamn cup of coffee I've ever had in my life.
Yep.
That's how I knew.
He's using that Bustelo. That kind of Bustelo.
I buy Bustelo every fucking time now.
See, it's that good stuff, man. My dad has it. We have like a Keurig here, and every time I know he's made coffee, because like he has like the swap out one where you could like put the actual grounds in it as opposed to like the little K-cup ones. And I was like, Pa's making Bustelo. Because sometimes he makes that so concentrated that like you could like melt metal with it. And he's like just sitting there sipping it. And I was like, Pa, that's not good for me.
Can you read this caption out loud on this image I'm sending right now?
Sure thing. Here we go. Shocking moment: an owl is interrogated by superstitious Mexican villagers after they set it on fire for being a witch. What the fuck?
Come on.
All the truths, there must be a problem out there, man.
I'm telling you, like, sometimes these
burning owls,
these things go, and also this owl, like, I don't know, I'm kind of like curious, because this owl does not look burned. If they lit it on fire,
he's doing fine. Yeah,
he looks like he's totally okay, so that might actually be a demon. But yeah, that stuff permeates, and it's so heavy down there. It is so heavy, like even here in Chicago, you know, you'll have like the very like anti-brujeria and like botanica families here, where like a botanica is like a mysticism kind of shop, and like you could always tell what one is, like what store's a botanica if you walk down Division Street, because it has like a bunch of like candles with saints on them and like stone statues and a bunch of plants, mm-hmm. and it's just like divination stuff like that. And older conservative like Latin families will not go anywhere near those things.
Yeah.
Well, I was burning the same candles I was taking my finals, you know, because I needed that extra help, and here I am with a liberal arts degree.
Well, before we move on to the next topic, I need you guys to do me a favor and stop making it painfully obvious that I am the only white guy on this show. So,
don't put that on me. Before anybody asks, I got all the white genes in the family. I took them all from every sibling, and they coalesced into me.
Christian is the eons of white knowledge all conglomerated into one entity.
Exactly. Like, all my other siblings look, you know, melanated. And I look like I got fucking stolen off the side of the street, so.
You're actually like the heir of some Spaniard, and they had to give you away. And fuck. I'm telling you, man, you got money back in Spain, man. You got Spanish dollars. You have like $1 trillion dollars in Spanish money. Do you know how much that is? That's 100 U.S. dollars.
Oh, so it sounds like you're getting ready to lean it on off and pass it over.
I am. Take it away.
Okay. So this doesn't always happen to me, but I got a little bit ahead of the game this week, and I actually have this week and next week's creatures ready to discuss. So I'm going to lay them out both for you right now and let you pick the one you want to hear about.
Okay.
So first up, we have the Mad Gasser of Mattoon.
The what?
The Mad Gasser of Mattoon. Like Mattoon,
like Caustic from Apex? Like he's just running around gassing people like a terrorist?
A creature or a person or thing that in a small town in the 40s just had a series of debilitating gas attacks.
What the fuck? What?
Or
gas attacks.
We have for you the Loveland Frogman.
Ooh.
These are tough choices.
I know, they're winners.
Ryan, what are you thinking?
Oh, man, I kind of want to hear about Caustic, because that just sounds really cool.
I you know what? Yeah, let's hear about the fucking gas bombing terrorist.
Okay. So, I'm glad you picked him. He was the one I had originally deigned for this episode, so I don't have to change my tabs around. So, the Mad Gasser of Mattoon is the name given to a never-discovered, never-caught criminal, or maybe entity, or maybe demon, who in 1944 went on a rampage in this small town of Mattoon, Illinois, just south of where we investigated Airtight Bridge.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's right down there.
That's sounded fucking familiar.
Yes, Mattoon, Illinois. It's on like that's like an Amtrak stop.
it's right down on the way, you know.
Holy shit.
And so this town had been attacked by what they called the Mad Gaster, or the Anesthetic Prowler, or the Phantom Anesthetist. How do you say that word?
Anesthesiast? Anesthesiologist?
Anesthesiast.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's... And so all of the reports go, yeah, we were just kind of laying in our house one day, or just hanging out in the 40s, nothing good to do, the war's going on, and we would get this weird smell, and then my legs wouldn't work.
What?
I would just go completely numb.
What the fuck?
That's horrifying. The first one is like a man wakes up at night and he's extremely sick for no reason. He starts like vomiting out of nowhere, and he goes to find his wife, and she's like unable to move. She's completely paralyzed.
What?
And
one of them goes and finds that, like, the window was open in the bathroom, and that perhaps the mad gasser had hit him.
What got the gassed fuck? On.
That's crazy. So, did you, like, what, like, nerve gas or something?
It's 1944, bro. I don't know what they have. Like, is there any kind of, unsavory...
Gas?
Gas?
I mean, mustard
being,
gas?
Being made?
Oh, no, but I mean, mustard gas would straight up kill him.
That would end your life.
So he was, like, hitting him with gas that, like, was ceasing motor function?
The most common is nausea and, like, paralysis, like, very short paralysis.
It maybe, like, it was carbon monoxide?
See, that's what the people are saying. After, like, the first week... It was considered a case of mass hysteria because so many houses were reporting this attack and, like, freaking out at night.
Oh.
Like, the mayor had to be like, there's no mad gasser. We're not all getting blasted back. Everybody stay calm. It's probably carbon monoxide.
There is no mad gasser.
Oh, do you know what was around at the time, though? Something called sarin. Sarin is a human-made chemical warfare agent classified as a nerve agent. Sarin was originally developed in 1938 in Germany as a pesticide. It is clear, colorless, and tasteless liquid that has no odor in its pure form.
Huh.
Oh.
Maybe he was rolling through with that. Maybe he was a German spy in the United States soil, gassing people.
Attacking rural Illinois, yeah. Our most precious land.
Yeah.
So over the course of like the weeks or so, people would say, I looked outside and saw a dude creeping in my window, and then I saw like this rag on the ground, and then I smelled the rag, and I like got really sick and couldn't move my legs.
Then I gave the rag a little whiff. I just smelled the mystery rag. What could it be?
Or like the closest encounter that we got was a guy like comes home, and like his wife and sister or something. Or at the house, and they're like, he's here, gassers out the window, and they see a man, like, prowling in the backyard, and the man gives chase, but never found the guy. Like, this entity, this criminal, is still at large. Maybe.
Is there anyone out there who's, like, arguing that it's, like, some kind of monster?
See, the reason that I found it so interesting and wanted to bring it up is because the exact thing you're putting in this Discord call, the media started to run with it, and they started blowing him up into this, like, villain that you see in all these images, or this, like, paranormal entity.
They are drawing him as, like, a comic book villain.
Yeah, like,
he looks
all the
cool.
Pictures are crazy, exaggerated, like, gas freaks. Like,
the
first one you showed us is him from Shin Megami Tensei. Like, you can use him in the game.
No way.
So they started, like, pardon the fucking... They started gassing him up, you know? Giving him this reputation.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Well, it's kind of like, what's it called? What was that? What was that entity? I forgot. I don't know if it's an entity. Or it might have been in the... I'm sure it was in a movie. were like, the more you talked about it, the more it gave it form. That's what they did. That's essentially what they did right there. They spoke the gasser into existence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For sure. That's fucking crazy.
They had also said that he made use of a skeleton key that allowed him access to everybody's homes. And they found it in one of his attacks.
What?
Yeah. He would, like, break into windows or get in through your house or, like, knock out your dog first, and then he'd gas you up.
But nobody, like, nobody laid eyes on the man.
People spotted various men prowling around. Like, I don't know if that was either their hysteria at the time or, like, their suspicion of their neighbors. Like, if you see anybody walking at night, it must be the mad gasser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But... no, they never found a guy. And this one family, Francis Smith and Maxine Smith, they got knocked 3 times in the 2 weeks he was attacking.
Everybody just had their goddamn, like, carbon monoxide detector off. Their stoves fucking improperly ventilated. And they're all just hallucinating.
They're all, like, getting whacked up on their own.
I mean, mistakes? Me and you were out there. Me and you were in that area. Yeah, I could definitely see the people that live out there routing or ventilating their stoves wrong, not changing their carbon monoxide detectors.
I mean, the leading response was given by local government saying that there is a local plant that was releasing maybe toxic waste, industrial pollutants into the air, and it was wafting into the city, causing all of these health effects.
Yeah.
But the company did an investigation and said there's totally not enough of the chemical that they were trying to pin it on in the factory to possibly cause, like, weeks of death and chaos. I mean, nobody died, but, like, people were freaking out, you know?
Hmm. That's interesting.
I mean, I forgot if I went paralyzed for a bit. That's kind of... I mean, that's spooky for sure, but... I don't know. Maybe something in the water? Maybe, like, I don't know. It could have been a myriad of things that... Excuse me.
I mean, it's almost like a hum incident, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
A couple episodes ago. Like, if one person gets it and they freak out and the media really picks it up, it could become anything.
Hmm. That's insane.
And the sort of button on the end of the story, and it's got a couple, like, unsavory notes to it, but the final incident of the Mad Gasser's reign of terror, he went on a streak of from August 31st to, like, September 13th-ish, just gassing the shit out of people.
That's so...
And, what's up?
No, I was saying that's so wild. Like, that's just, like, crazy.
And the final person, Bertha Birch, had an encounter with the Mad Gasser and said that she saw what appeared to be a woman dressed up as a man skulking around, and that maybe it was some kind of disguised assailant.
Mm.
And that's as close as anybody ever got to finding him, or her, or it, or whatever it may
that's
be.
Insane.
That's crazy. And
it got picked up by the Journal of Abnormal and Social Psychology, calling him the Phantom Anesthetist, and it just became, you know, this creature. It became this entity of, like, popular myth. So much so, you can get little toys of him now.
Did you see anything about... Lego was? This comic book that was made about it?
That too. Yeah, I was going to try and see if I could find some scans of it for you, but the gasser took on a life of his own.
Yeah, and whoever the artist is, this shit looks fucking sick.
You going to do a group read-along of the comic book?
Let's do it.
It's the Mad Gasser, bro. There he is. What are his motives?
It gives me, like, Junji Ito vibes. Like, oh, what was the one with, like, the town covered in mist?
Yeah.
The Mad Gasser. That's so fucking cool.
I mean, like your guy at the beginning, simply felt the urge one day to go out in the woods and
just start gassing people.
Was like, I'm not going to kill them. I'm not going to even rob them. You know, I'm just going to put a gas grenade in their house, like caustic, let them freak out a bit, and just start laughing from my porch.
Might be fun.
Yeah. And the worst part is we never found him.
I think that might be the best part.
Do you?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows when the Mad Gasser will strike again if he passed on his legacy?
If he,
yeah, who knows if
he passed Elihu gas, if
de
you
Mad Gasser.
You know?
Fuck that.
That's fucking cool, man.
But that's it for you. A little bit of local fun for it.
I love that.
What if he showed up when you guys were doing the ghost hunt?
Bro, I would have fucking capped
him. Fucking Joe just gets... Yeah, freaking Dom just gets paralyzed in his legs.
Oh, we would have left Dom's ass behind. Shit. He fell in the water, guys. He's dead anyway. We got to get out of here.
I just don't know if... Did the mass... The mass gasser? Did the mad gasser influence all of these, like, characters in popular media? Like you said, Caustic, like... the fucking guy from TF2, like the mask. The
Special
like,
Air Service with their gas masks.
Yeah, yeah.
All of the SAS is inspired by the Mad Gasser.
They saw this dude art who of went the crazy. Mad Gasser, and they were like, yo, that's a hot look.
That's rad.
We need our special forces to look like this guy.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
I like that. That's a really cool story. I didn't know that. I'm happy you brought that one to the table. Now I'm excited for next week with the Frogman.
Oh, the Frogman's a winner. I hope you're all ready for that.
Oh, that's
means I gotta get something to one up it.
Well, you know, if everybody's finished telling their tale, I think we can kind of wrap this up, you know?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Well,
take us home, Dan.
As usual, folks, this has been Mad Tower Radio, episode 35. If you want to get in contact with the Mad Tower Radio, you can email us at supermadtower@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Mad Tower Radio. Comment on the video and tell us what kind of cryptids, conspiracies, ghosts, goblins, spooky stories you would like to hear featured on the podcast. Send us your ghost stories and we'll share them on the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And really, that's all I got. You guys got anything?
No, I don't.
Christian's dead. All right. this has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.